27:40 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, rainy, overcast, crummy. But could be cold, and at least it's not cold. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, joins us every Tuesday at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We had a fair number of things in the news. One is you had an officer-involved shooting on Avery Street on Saturday. This was the one with the Z car, right, with the fare not getting paid, allegedly. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. We first got the call that a cab driver had been shot at and actually shot the window out of the cab. So we were in the area, along with Pensacola police officers, in the area circulating looking for a suspect in that particular crime. And then there was actually a passerby, I've watched the body camera, that said he's right over there, indicating where the suspect would be. How they knew, or you know, what they saw, I don't know, but they told us exactly where to go. So we went over there and we stopped. We had a couple of deputies stop a suspect that fit the description. They engaged in some conversation with him, asked him several times to keep your hands out of your pockets, keep your hands out of your pockets. And then at one point he fled. And then during that foot pursuit, the suspect turned towards the deputies and pointed a handgun at them. You know, as we said here plenty of times, you can't point a gun at us and expect prizes. Not good anyway.
Pointing a gun at somebody is an active threat of violence, deadly force.
It is reasonable to believe your life is in danger.
Right.
Or the life of someone else is in danger. So we shot a total of 12 rounds. I think three or so struck him. And then he was transported to the hospital, arrested. Yesterday we finished a ballistics that matched the gun that was found on him at the scene to the shell casings that matched that was shot. That shot the window out of the cab driver. So we'll be bringing those charges about on the cab driver. They were working on it yesterday evening, so it may be done by now, but otherwise we intend to charge him with the cab driver as well.
And the in that cab case, I think the allegation is he didn't pay his fare and the cabbie like was driving after him.
It was just following behind him.
Okay.
I'm assuming, you know, going to call law enforcement or trying to get his money.
And that's when he shot back.
As the cab driver passed by, he fired three rounds and actually shot out the back window of the cab, you know, clearly looking to shoot at the cab driver himself.
And that back window would be past him then also.
He drove past
him.
No
way
to
construe that as a threat by the cabbie or anything like that. I mean, just trying to work
not
through
in my
the
mind,
scenarios.
No.
Did he ever actually shoot at our deputies, or did they shoot at him only when he pointed the gun?
My early indication is that as soon as he pointed the gun, he's running at the same time.
Got it.
And our deputies fired before he can get a round off.
And so policy in this case is that's an FDLE investigation, I assume, and the deputies who shot are waiting pending the outcome of that investigation before they can get back in the field, or?
Well, not necessarily. They're on paid administrative leave until we have a preliminary investigation internally.
Okay.
And then I can put them back to work after we send them to a mandatory psychological assessment. And then we will obviously wait and see what the Florida Department of Law Enforcement says. Actually, what they do is they investigate. They don't really say good or bad, right or wrong. What they do is they investigate it and they present those findings to the state attorney's office, who determines whether it's
got it,
you know, legal or not legal.
So it's the internal investigation that clears them to return to duty, the FDLE investigation then to the SA. The SA decides to prosecute or not, and that's how you know whether anything else is going to happen in the case.
That's correct. Yeah,
okay.
I could put them back to work, within a couple of days once I get the information. We send a lot of people out there in officer-involved shootings. We send a team, if you will, supervisors, captains. My chief deputy gets out there, and then they will assess the situation and provide a recommendation to me on when and if the deputy should be placed back on duty pending that mental assessment.
We also had a property that had been trouble over on our street wound up getting destroyed. You guys tore that down. Is that right?
Well, actually, the
code enforcement
is who did it. So I got to give credit where credit is due. They've done a really good job of working on some of these code violations. We have periodic meetings with them. We've really ramped up our engagement with the code enforcement so that we can share the information we get on nuisance properties, and they can help, you know, share the information they get on what violations take place. And then they were able to get a magistrate ordered that the destruction of the house itself. They don't take ownership of the property, is my understanding. We were just there to help and support in any way that we can. And I mentioned it before, and I'll say it again. The neighborhood is better because that particular home is, and it was a motorhome that was in front of it, and that motorhome was a site of a homicide that happened 2 weeks prior. So this has been a crap hole for a long time, and now it's gone.
There's a lot of cases where, you know, you have otherwise pretty nice neighborhood or decent enough, and then you got that one lot.
Right.
And that one lot is the source of all the problems, all the complaints, all of the blight issues, whatever. And, you know, maybe a little raising of a home will solve a little bit of a problem, even if it's just a mobile home or something like that. Sheriff, I wanted to ask you about something that surprised me a little bit. I was watching the county commission meeting, and I was looking through the Escambia County Commission meeting last week and looking through all of the things they vote on. And, you know, there's a lot of what they call consent items, consent agenda, which is stuff they don't really detail much in public, but it's all the things that are so obvious that they vote on them unanimously. It's usually no big deal. The item that caught my attention was the Escambia Board of County Commissioners policy against the use of excessive force. And it has to do with federal funding. And it says they receive federal funding through the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG. You might have heard of this before. Right. I mean, people might have heard of it that way. And as a part of that, the an act of 1974 requires subrecipients of federal funds to adopt and enforce a policy prohibiting the use of excessive force by law enforcement agencies within its jurisdiction against any individuals engaged in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations. And it goes on with a couple of whereases. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County, Florida, it is the policy of the county to prohibit the use of excessive force by law enforcement agencies within its jurisdiction against any individuals engaged in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations and to enforce applicable state and local laws against physically barring entrance or exit from a facility or location which is the subject of such nonviolent civil rights demonstration within its jurisdiction with due and proper consideration given to the extent and limits of the county's power and authority to do so. And they signed it unanimously with a 3-0 vote because Jeff Bergosh was not there and District 4 is vacant. Did the county consult with you at all on this?
No. That's the first I've heard about this particular resolution, which is, I find odd because we resolve to do that every day. We do not. We have a policy that would prohibit excessive use of force. I'm not sure why you need a resolution. I guess it's a little insulting in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, like insulting that they, because it seems to me like they have to do this as a condition of getting the grants. Okay, so
yeah, I don't take it personal.
Insulting by the commission or insulting by the White House?
I think it's insulting that it's even something that you have to do because you would think that that was already done. You know, why would a Board of County Commissioners or Sheriff's Office or any law enforcement entity condone any excessive use of force? I mean, why would you do that? Wouldn't you say it was established years ago?
Yeah, 1974, but they just had this vote last week, which I agree. It just seemed like, why would they need to take a vote like this? Apparently, they felt like they had to, but it's such a silly thing to be telling you, yes, we are against you using unreasonable force in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations, and we'll enforce it.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of already well within your policies and procedures. You're there to protect people's civil rights and protest nonviolent, right?
You know, my assumption, again, is that it's mandatory that they do that so they can get the funding. And if they say they're against excessive use of force, aren't we all?
Right, aren't we all? I love that answer. I also did want to get your thoughts. There was a case out of New York, a very sad case, where a police officer in New York was involved in a traffic stop. As far as I can tell, it seemed like a fairly routine traffic stop. They tried to tell the guy to get out. And he opened fire and shot a cop who was wearing a vest and killed him. And, you know, they got him out of the car and subdued eventually. But a vest is not a magic protection, and any traffic stop can be anything, anytime, right?
Well, you know, there are times that I get complaints or my office gets complaints that people say, hey, I was in a traffic stop and the deputy ordered me to stay in the car. You know, if there's a car full of people, they order us all to stay in the car. Well, because you don't know what's going to happen in some of these traffic stops. And all they're trying to do is stop you for speeding or stop you for some sort of a violation of the traffic laws. And anything can happen. You know, I've seen some body cam footage. I've seen some in-car footage. We've all seen them. If you go to YouTube, you can see all the ones that you want. But to find, you know, ones like that and to hear about them, it's heartbreaking, you know, for the deputy or for the officer and his family. But it also kind of reminds you that we should be very happy, and we are, in Escambia County to have men and women that are willing to do this job because they are stopping people. They do not know their mindset. They do not know if they're wanted or not. They don't know what their situation is. Again, we talk about the officer-involved shooting we had. We were investigating an individual that had fired rounds into a cab. It's at midnight or just before midnight. Deputies are out there on the streets, and they're not driving around, you know, killing time. They're actively trying to find these bad guys, and sometimes the people that they're trying to find or trying to stop with traffic are bad guys, genuine bad guys that have nothing but ill intent, and they don't care who they shoot. They don't care who they harm. And again, that's just an example of what they law enforcement officers live with every day.
And that's why, I mean, you know, whenever I'm done with an interview with you or PPD or Sheriff Johnson or whatever, I always say thank you because, I mean, I do not take it for granted. I'm amazed about the things that people do to keep my family safe and protect us every day, and I appreciate it. Last thing, you had a very sad note. We had the passing of Deputy Sheriff First Class Al Calber on Sunday. Is that right?
Yeah, Al was a great guy. Anyone that knew Al, he's been with us for a long time. He was a longtime school resource officer at a couple of different schools. And so a lot of people that had probably grown up and now they're hearing the story, and like, you know, that was their resource officer because they take kind of ownership of their resource officers. Yeah. I hear people. I was never a resource officer, but because I was maybe a little bit before my time. Actually, it's not true, but there was not as many whenever I started. Al's done just a fantastic job. He had been battling an illness for some time. He has a wonderful family, and we've been working with him over the last couple of years. We're heartbroken about it. He has touched so many lives in such a positive manner, and he's certainly one of the good ones.
You also have an event coming up, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April 20th. We'll talk more about that when we get a little bit closer, but we're just under a month out from that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, as always, and I say it every time, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for keeping us informed. I appreciate the work, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.